Sunward Sky, Episode 1.2, Liftoff. If anyone had asked her what the gangway heading out to a spaceship actually looked like, she wouldn't have responded with anything like what it actually was. Popular culture and science from the early days of spacefaring, back when humanity had grandiose dreams of populating the solar system, always showed open bridges with a bright and welcoming hatchway. She'd heard tell of enormous elevators that ran through the center of the ship from the base of the rocket boosters all the way to wherever the crew cabins were situated. In reality, she'd ended up with a better view of the Sunward Sky from within the terminal than she ever had while in transit across the launch crater. She and the other crew and passengers, including the lanky Healy, had been paired up and sent into a thin carriage that fit almost perfectly within the transit tunnel. There were no windows outside the train, and it was lit with the kind of LED lights that rendered all the colours a kind of washed-out simulacrum of reality. Her pair partner had been herded onto the seat next to her. There were only room for two seats abreast and a small walkway. The woman next to her looked not much older than herself, but was obviously also a victim of the kind of space sickness that Healy had exhibited. Even sitting in the chair, her muscles were twitching, and she was developing white in her hair long before any skin wrinkles or blemishes were obvious. As soon as everyone was aboard, the doors to the locomotive had hissed shut, and the whirring of heavy electrical motors hummed throughout the cabin. The woman next to Alyssa smiled at her. "First time up, love," she said, and her head snaked to and fro as she turned to face her more fully. Unlike the two men she'd heard earlier, the woman had no easily definable accent, although there was a Central European lilt in addition to the general worldly mishmash that most people had. Alyssa nodded. She was still distracted by the thought of the two men who had been chasing her prior to the call, and wondering if either of them were planning to board the Sunward Sky. She hadn't seen a blonde head of hair, so she figured the Australian wasn't aboard, but Brett had worn a helmet. He could have been anyone. She wondered if they'd gotten a good look at her, and wondered if the hunt was going to be back on once they were on the spacecraft. "Not to worry, sweetie. First time's always rough. Till you get up there and see." "See what?" Alyssa asked. The woman looked at Alyssa, though she was fairly dim. "The Earth, love. No matter what anyone says about the dangers of space travel, it's worth it to look down on the world." Alyssa gestured to the woman's shaking hand. "It's worth that?" The woman placed her other hand over her arm and consciously tried to stop the shaking. "Space palsy ain't so bad so long as you stay in space," she said. "It's having to come down that's the trouble." Alyssa smiled. Space jockeys just seemed to get that way fairly quickly. Terraphobia, some people called it. She wasn't sure it counted as a phobia so much when it was completely justified. These men and women ended up really, really sick and unable to live normal lives down on Earth. Healy was a veteran of space travel, but even a woman as young as the one Alyssa had been paired up with seemed to have undergone significant enough stress that living back planetside for any length of time would have caused her condition to get much worse. Alyssa wondered idly how long it would take before it happened to her, but brushed the thought aside. "I'm here now, and I've got to live with the consequences." The fact that her life had gotten to the point where a job as a technician on an old rust bucket like Sunward Sky was her only real option grated at her, but she guessed she just had to accept it. She considered asking the woman about when space palsy and all the other conditions would set in, then decided she probably didn't want to know. "What's your name?" "I'm Alyssa," she said. "Elise," the woman replied. That had been the last of their conversation as they'd headed out into the launch crater. Had there been any windows that she could see out of, Alyssa would have seen the launch crater looming over her like an enormous mountain range, albeit one made with far too much mechanical precision to have been caused by something as unwieldy as plate tectonics or meteor impacts. Despite the advances in technologies and the growth in requirements for regular space travel, launches and landings remained one of the highest risk activities that humans as a species embarked upon on a regular basis. The launches were so loud that they would rupture the eardrums of anyone who was in 2 kilometers of the launch. The shockwaves still fanned out with devastating atrocity across an enormous radius, and the force to the ground, the heat, and the danger to the surrounding atmosphere made the launch of a space-going vehicle something you simply could not be close to. Again, Science fiction had got it wrong. Millennium Falcons flying from small plazas inside mud buildings was always, as far as anyone could see, going to be impractical. This was especially true as there was no company on Earth that was interested in making space travel a more comfortable experience for the low-level employees that got sent out on a regular basis. The launch craters were located in various places around the world, and they were always enormous, barren, and utterly inhospitable. After what seemed an interminable time in the harsh LED light, the door had once again opened, this time to a series of staircases. Alyssa and Elise had walked up them silently together, then stepped carefully onto the revolving ring of platforms that passed as an elevator. They were double bench seats that resembled the construction of the ski lifts that Alyssa had seen in books, but the cables were mounted vertically and on either side. Elise seemed completely comfortable and planted herself on the far side as Alyssa tried to stare up the void of the shaft. "Come on, girl, we haven't got all day," Elise said, and she patted the chair next to her. Alyssa sat, and a second or two later the lift lurched upwards as the pulley system once again got hold of it. The lift system, as it turned out, had a series of glass panels fitted to it once it got a decent distance above the ground. It was here that Alyssa got her first close-up view of the sunward sky. It was black as pitch and matte. The outside was mainly smooth except for a networked lattice of lines running primarily vertically over the hull. Here and there were well-disguised hatches with white and red text spelling out codes that made no sense to anyone but the engineers assigned to them. The primary thing that Alyssa noticed, however, was the sheer size of the ship. She'd read that it was 120 meters tall, but without an idea to scale it against, that was just a number to her. The enormous blackness of the thing stretched above and below her further than she could see, and the mass of the ship blocked out everything from the window. She openly gawked at it every time a new window revealed itself inside the lift shaft. The town she'd grown up in had no buildings more than about 10 stories, and this thing was far larger than that. If she peered out to the left, she could see the minor break in the patterning where one of the enormous outer drums split, and an edge of a red stenciled letter longer than the train carriage that had transported the 300 crew members here. Elise was looking at her quixotically, and broke into a smile when Alyssa looked back. "Ah, I'm sad to say, but you get used to it," she said. "Everything's bigger in space." Sunward has enough biomass and treatment for air and water that she wouldn't technically ever have to land at all but for the changing of the crew that the satellite companies insist on to make sure nobody gets complacent with maintenance. A few minutes later, the slow-moving sling arrived into a small anteroom where the crew that boarded before her were being shepherded through a rectangular hatch. The harsh artificial lighting was back, and she fought the urge to itch her eyes as the captain and other crew members urged her into the tunnel. She supposed this was the entrance gantry. They must have been 100 or more meters in the air. They were still being kept in pairs, two abreast down the interminably long hallway. Alyssa was looking for a hatch for the better part of 5 minutes before she broke and asked Elise, "Where's the entrance to the ship?" Elise laughed. "We're in the ship. Didn't you notice the walls change?" Alyssa did a double take and looked again at their surroundings. The walls were indeed different. They seemed older, but somehow sturdier, and the powder coat had a satin sheen to it that she soon realized was a product of the improved quality of the interior lighting. The color rendering was far better in here, and the light seemed to give off a level of warmth that had been lacking across the crater. "I've boarded a spaceship," Alyssa said to herself. "I've boarded a spaceship and I didn't even notice it happen." The captain of the ship and the main nav crew, identifiable by their slightly less disheveled uniforms and minor cloth adornments to their coveralls, stopped short of a widening in the corridor. "Launch couches are through here. Please find a pairing with your partner. You'll report conditions to each other once the launch sequence is complete." The two women stepped through the widened area of the ship. Ahead of them, in a series of mezzanines connected by ladders, were the launch couches. Everywhere, the ship shows signs of its age. There were indicator screens with huge stripes of dead pixels. The couches themselves were covered in sweat stains and torn off sections of the memory foam. The foam itself seems to have developed a memory of a general human shape after so many high-G scenarios. The once sleek instrumentation looked clunky and patched where things had been broken and fixed and broken again. Elise and Alyssa found a pair of couches on the second deck that seemed to be the correct size for both of them. They lowered themselves down and stared straight up at the grating above. "Make sure you're not hanging over the top of the couch anywhere," Elise warned. "It's the fastest way to find out where the infirmary is, having your forearms snap in a 4G launch situation. Only problem is after it happens, you just gotta wait for the launch to finish before anyone's going to be able to help." Alyssa pulled herself in from the edges of the launch couch and made sure to fasten the safety around her waist. Her heart was in her throat again as she watched the remainder of the flight crew filter through the door and find themselves appropriate seats. On her mezzanine, it looked as though there were 40 or so couches arranged in a circular array, with three breaks in the radii of the array for a walkway. She spotted Healy as he hefted himself up the ladder to the next mezzanine up. He wouldn't have fit anywhere on this level. Over an unseen intercom, a T-minus 5 minutes came loud and clear across the sound system. The crew started shuffling around faster, and a few of them, who were obviously first-timers like her, started looking panicked as they sought out launch couches that were the right size and in good enough shape. She still hadn't seen the blonde hair of the Australian thug, and she'd been watching with interest as people had filtered in and cleared around the edges. There had, however, been several men that had matched the size of the other one, climbing down the ladder that went to the mezzanine below. A voice broke out over the intercom shortly after the T-minus 2 minutes call. It was the ship's captain. Far from the clipped and professional tones of a plane pilot on a commercial flight, this man had the easy tones of a colleague to most people on board and spoke with the casual voice of experience.
"Hi all, thanks for tuning in. We've got about 20 or so newbies on the journey this time round, and from my log, about 50 in total that haven't been on Sunward Sky's rotation yet. If you haven't been aboard before, welcome. If you have, welcome back."
A deep hum had begun reverberating through the entire ship, and an enormous metallic thuds were echoing through the mezzanine.
"Apologies for the delay, by the way. It seems like someone forgot about loading up the cargo on time, so the system threw a fit. Seems to be all sorted, and we're only a little behind schedule. We'll be able to sort that out with a little extra burn on the way out, which I'll sort out for you. Strap in, we're off to the races soon."
The hum grew louder as T-minus 1 minute blasted through the intercom. The thrumming of the space became more insistent, and a rhythmic pumping sound had begun. Alyssa went to strap herself in, and then realized what the captain had said. "Elise!" she shouted over the din, which was enveloping almost everything. The other woman was laying it, staring at the ceiling with a pair of earmuffs on. She couldn't hear Alyssa's yelling. Alyssa ripped off the buckle she'd just finished doing up and sat up, noticing her own pair of earmuffs on the edge of the couch, which she hadn't seen before. She sat up and reached out over the edge of the couch to shake Elise. Elise opened her eyes, which widened in horror as she saw Alyssa's crouched pose on the edge of the launch couch. "What the hell are you doing?" Elise screamed, pushing Alyssa's hand away and throwing it out of her own launch couch. T-minus 30 seconds. "There were some guys!" Alyssa screamed back. The sound was overwhelming now, but Alyssa was shouting despite the fact that there was no way anyone could hear her. "They stole something from the shipment. I saw them in the old abandoned part of the terminal. It was a massive flight box. And they were talking about making weight for something. I didn't realize it, but it was something here. Elise, someone has sabotaged this ship."
"T-minus 10 seconds.
Alyssa was crouched on the corner of her couch with one foot on the floor.
9.
Elise was yelling something at her, but the thrum of the deck was too loud.
8.
Alyssa flung herself back onto the couch, scrambling for the safety belt.
7.
The clip was under her body. At launch, when the G-forces exploded into her, the small metal clip could cause a separation in her vertebrae.
6.
She ripped the clip from under her back and tried to maneuver her hands in such a way that the clip could be done up by her side.
5.
The clip was too hard to deal with in the heat of the moment. She pushed it down next to her, at her waist. At least that way it wouldn't be a weight in her stomach.
4.
The engines roared through the ship's fuselage, rattling the bones inside her head and sending her near deaf.
3.
Near deaf. She wasn't wearing her earmuffs.
2.
She twisted onto one shoulder, pushing herself up and reaching out for the earmuffs. The clip for the safety harness sat under her left hip bone, and she reached with her right arm while she propped herself up on one shoulder.
1.
She slipped the earmuffs on and looked down at her contorted torso. One leg hung outside the edge of the launch couch, and her shoulders were attracted as she held herself up by them. She'd need to shift back to a neutral position before... The change in gravity was as instant as it was devastating. 120 million tons of thrust threw itself into the awkward position she found herself in. The aging launch count sagged under the weight of her shoulder in an attempt to distribute the enormous point load of her body, but it didn't do much. Her head snapped forward from the neck, hitting the couch and loading it up to the top of her spine, while the leg that had been dangling over the edge was immediately wrenched so hard it felt as though it had been pulled from its socket. Alyssa tried to scream, but nothing got over the roar of the rocket boosters as they screamed through the metal exterior of the spacecraft. Her left shoulder was jutted up at an unnatural angle, and she could see the blood vessels in her other arm throbbing just under the surface of her skin. The safety clip was digging into her hip bone, and as she cried, in pain, the tears flew downward and thudded into the memory foam without splashing. With an incredible effort, she inched her leg back and to the side. Her quadriceps screamed at the effort to pulling the foreleg that was suddenly four times heavier than usual back onto the memory foam, but she managed it, and gasped with relief as that pain began to recede. Her left shoulder was still propping her up, and her neck was in tearing agony as it was forced to hold her head up against the incredible force of the sunward sky's ascent. She couldn't reach down with her pinned left arm to shift the clip under her waist, so she reassessed. She tried twisting her elbow, but it was stuck in the dent that had created in the memory foam. It was completely pinned. With an effort, she pulled her body across the couch by a millimeter, away from her left arm, aiming to flatten out the shoulder so it could spread the load out across the foam and at least take some of the strain off her neck. The attitude of the rocket changed slightly as it continued through the atmosphere. All of Alyssa's muscles were full of lactic acid and burning, and she hauled herself millimeter by millimeter away and downward. Her neck slowly flattened out, and her shoulder took on a more normal geometry, slowly spreading the weight across the couch. She only had two or three more efforts to go until her shoulders would be level again, and she could start dealing with the problem of the clip at her waist, which felt as though it was close to breaking her skin. She grimaced and steeled herself for another movement. As she went to move herself, the first stage of the rocket booster fell off, and instead of moving directly to her right, the jolt throughout the ship moved her right and down. The movement was entirely in the wrong direction for her body to deal with, and her arm was ripped from its socket, and her face fell sideways into the thick foam of the launch couch. She screamed as the pain tooth tore through her body. Her arm poked up hideously from her scapula, and the sudden downward force lodged the clip into her hip even more firmly. The white heat of the pain poured into her sensory cortex. It overrode the thundering of the ship's rockets, and she fell out of consciousness. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Henry Nielsen, author and producer of Sunward Sky. If you want to get in contact, you can follow me on Twitter or Reddit by the handle Hunting Sunrise, or on Instagram at hunting_sunrise. If you like this story, consider picking up my ebook novella Eleanor's Mind, available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Again, thank you very much, and I hope you tune in again next time.